We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another opportunity to hear your word. Speak to our hearts. Meet us in the text, tale of the truth, that what we hear from you today, we will heed from you today. Let not the familiarity of the text cause us to falter in our own wisdom. We'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9. Very familiar verse of scripture, and I pray afresh that your knowledge of the scripture does not hinder you from the revelation to be gotten from the scripture. 1 John verse chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This word, my brothers and sisters, as it is before us, John, whom the Lord loved, pens this word. He's an older man, and he's talking to the children of God, the people of God, the church of God, and he endears them as children. He talks to them out of both wisdom and word. One of the things that I believe the enemy uses against us is the fact that though we are saved and though we do sin, sometimes we act like we're the only ones who don't know it. John makes clear, if we say we have no sin, Now keep in mind, he's talking to the believers. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the people of God. If we say we have no sin, there is a lie going on. And God didn't tell it. He's making it clear that though we are saved and that we are sanctified, set aside and apart for God, that we do slip, we do miss it, we do mess up, we do make mistakes, we do sin. But the problem is, some of us act like we are not saints with sinner problems. And some of us today, if we were to confess, would have to say, "Brother preacher, I'm a saint, I'm saved, I know it, Jesus saved me on such and such a day, I gave him my heart, gave the preacher my hand, and I know I'm saved." Yes, but there are some sinner issues, amen, that you're still dealing with. Because you're saved doesn't mean that you're fully converted. And our salvation comes before our conversion. You see, one of the ways that you can tell if you're saved is how you treat your brother. I'm not talking about the man on the street. I'm not talking about the sinner. I'm talking about your born again brother or your born again sister. And if you say you love God, whom you have never seen, it's the same John speaking all through this, and hate your brother, then again, you lie. A lie is going on. And God is not the perpetuator of that lie. And so every time you see a lie in the context of John talking to us, it's usually us lying. We either lie to God, we lie to our brothers or our sisters, or we lie to ourselves. And he wants to make clear that we understand that. And so here, when he begins to pin, if we confess, listen at this. It starts off with us understanding that we have a particular part to play. If we, well, that means if suggests that we don't always do. So if we confess, suggests that we don't always confess. Now, here's what I need you to understand. Sitting up in church every Sunday morning without confessing your sins don't make you right with God. Sitting in the pulpit, singing in the choir, on the deaconess ministry, ushering at the door, or whatever it is you are in the church, if there's unconfessed sin in your heart, in your life, you are at odds with God. Don't care what your position is. Don't care how you feel toward somebody else with one look on your face and another in your heart. If we confess, here's what happens. It frees our mind and our spirit. It frees it from harboring hate and causing us to become bitter. Have you ever seen any bitter saints? Bitter saints are some of the worst folk you want to come in contact with. Bitter saints will make sugar bad. Take all the sweetness out of sugar. Bitter saints, they will take the joy out your heart and the smile off your face. I'm talking about bitter saints. You see them coming, and if there's an alternate route, you will gladly take it. Listen, I'm saying all of this not to be humorous or not to be funny, but what makes us bitter is unconfessed sin. It works on us and it changes us and it corrupts us and it contaminates us, and the better part of us becomes worse because of sin that still resides within us. Listen, God can do something with it if you give it to him. But when we do not, so look at what it says. If we confess our sins, let's visit the word sins and understand what he's talking about. First, let's look at the category of committed sins. Committed sins, sins that we have committed, we've willingly done. Sins of commission. Well, now those sins are at the top of the list of confession. Because that meant with those thoughts, we generally activated the thought processes and did that sin with permission. And so it was not a mistake, it was not an accident, but it was an intentional thing. You know how some people might embellish the truth? You know, like when I was, you know, younger and I was fishing and, you know, I'd catch a perch about the size of my hand. And it's amazing how when you bring the perch up and it gets away, how it appears much larger. I let one get away that must have been at least a pound and a half, weighing only about 4 ounces in reality. To impress who? I'm embellishing the truth. I did catch a fish. When I catch him and bring him up, or catch him and let him get off, because I don't want someone in the boat to see me with this little fish. I say, you got something on your line? No, I ain't got nothing, man. You don't want them to see, especially when you are competing with another fish. So you embellish the truth. You try and, you know, that's still a lie. Still a lie. You know, you say you get, you know, this as a pay or something, and you know, elevated way up there, except at tax time. Yeah, you big baller. While you're talking the talk, but the tax papers don't show that. It's all a lie, you know, committed. And, you know, and when you do things and you know that it, you know, the problem with that is that it leads you down a path of telling another lie to cover up that lie. And sometimes you have to tell a whole lie after you've told a half a lie to cover that lie up. And at one point, it's going to come to a head and you're going to have to confess, well, I lied. I just, you know, because then you got to be creative in lying and remember what you lied about, because somebody is listening and can bring back to your remembrance what you said. Well, I thought you said, oh, I did. Well, what I meant was. But when you tell the truth, you ain't got to remember how you said what you said, because if you said the truth, you can repeat the truth. And even if the truth is repeated to you, you say, yeah, that is what I said. Yeah, that is what's right, because it's the truth. But so when we confess, we begin with our sins of commission, the things we did and we wanted to do them. So ain't no sense in lying about it. What you did in committed sin is what you wanted to do. Then there's the sin of omission, the things that you should have done that you didn't do. And so those sins, listen, they're just as costly and they're just as bad as committed sins, because the very things that God has charged to your hand that you have purposely undone, left undone, would not do, is still sin. Because God has given you a charge. God has laid that to your responsibility. And so if you do not confess, Lord, I didn't do it. One, here's the truth. I didn't want to do it. How many times has God told you to make something right with somebody? You'd be like, no, not today, Lord. This ain't the day. and it got on my nerve. They done did this to me. They done said that. And the Lord told you, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. Well, you know what? I'm going to skip over the peacemakers today. I know it's in there, but I don't feel like making peace at my expense. And so that's a sin of omission. Somebody's hurting. You got, God said, give. God said, give. And you say, well, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that because they just going to squander it. They're going to do that. What they do with it is their business. When the Lord has told you to do a thing. Now, I'm not saying being a fool and you just, you know, throw good money down into a bad well that has no end and so they just keep. I'm not talking about being foolish with what you have. I'm talking about when the Lord has spoken to you. Because sometimes it's not about them, it's about you. Will you obey him? Will you take heed to what he said? Sometime in the releasing of that blessing in your hand is to free up your hands to receive the blessings that are coming back to you in obedience. Sometime God is trying to get out of your hand the little you've got to put plenty in your hand. But we say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. That's not my favorite right person. Okay. Sin of omission. But there's another sin that many of us overlook, and that's the sins of contemplation. The sins of contemplation? Yeah, the sins you think of in your mind. The sins you would do if you had an opportunity to. That's the only reason why you hadn't done it is because you ain't had a chance. A chance. You remember when the woman was caught in adultery, brought before Jesus in the temple, thrown down with just a sheet around her. They would not allow her to get dressed. They wanted to get her as close to the actual nakedness of her sin as they could. So allowing her only to be covered with a sheet, they brought her in and threw her down at Jesus' feet in the temple and said, Lord, this woman we caught in the very act. So it was clear by the way that she was dressed that there was credence to what they said, and there she is before Jesus, and Jesus here. They said, but wait, Jesus, you know Moses said in the law that this woman should be stoned to death. But what do you say about it? Now do remember that they're trying to trap the truth. And the truth, know the truth inside and out. And he also know their motives. Because it wasn't really about him, and it really wasn't about Moses, and it really wasn't about that he represented as the truth. It was to trap him and make him go against the word. Well, as Satan does, he either quotes the word wrong or he takes it out of context or it is incomplete in one fashion or the other. Because the Mosaic law that they were quoting gave reference to the fact that the husband was the one who was to cast the first stone, and then others who were righteous could join in and stone her until she was dead. But it wasn't just one person. Because she didn't commit adultery by herself. But they didn't bring him. And here is the thought. These elders, these older men in this context, were around the woman and Jesus looking. First time he stoops down and he writes on the ground. And they're all watching him. They're waiting to see what he's going to do. And he tells them, you, any one of you without sin, you cast the first stone. Because the righteous of God's folk, if the righteous had been done wrong and was not there, could have done it. Could have been the representative who stood in for the husband if something had happened to him. So Jesus said, you cast the first stone, and he stoops down again. Now, here's the point that I make. As there is no concrete evidence, according to Scripture, what Jesus wrote on the ground, I've shared with you, especially those of you who've been here in this ministry any time, what those who speculate say he wrote on the ground. And the only reason why I'm using it is because it makes good sense to me. Because I would speculate he did the same thing. The first time he stooped down on the ground, he wrote nothing but sins, just sins. Sin, you know, of lying, sin of stealing, sin of backbiting, sin of adultery, sin of this, sin, just sins. That's the first time he just wrote sins. And he gets up and he looks at him. Then he makes that statement and he stoops down and he writes again. This time he starts writing names. John, Jack, Mac Henry. You know, all of them. Just go down the list. Now, the Bible says when the eldest see it, because here is the conclusion. If he has written the sins on one line, and then he's written the names on another line, if he stooped down again, he might connect the dots. I wish I had a helper in the house. And so the Bible says, listen, that the elder, it began with the elders, they saw what he was doing. Now, the only reason why they turned and walked away when they should have been the ones picking up the stone and throwing at the woman because they were righteous was because the contemplation of their thoughts were sinful thoughts. And here is the thing, though none of them had perhaps done what the woman had done, at some point or time or another, they thought about it. Y'all can sit here and act holier than thou if you want, but y'all have thought about some things you have not done. But you sit up here and look holier than thou here, and yet, if you had the chance, talking about I'm an old man wishing for younger days. For what? Talking about look at that Beyonce say. Look at that Jennifer Lowe. Lord, have mercy. You know, for what? Y'all don't get holier than thou. Be. Yeah, what you want your younger days for? Because you could do things then you can't do now? Help me somebody here. What's the reason behind some of the things you have not done? Is it because you cannot do them or you have not had opportunity, but it does not stop you from thinking about it? The other familiar one was, again, the brother of the prodigal son. He didn't leave home. He was faithful to his father. He did everything he was supposed to do. But when his brother came home, he got mad when his father killed the fatted calf, gave him a party, and celebrated his return. And when he wouldn't come in the house, the father went out and met him. And he exploded. He said, I've been here all the while. I've never been a problem child. You didn't have to come get me out of jail. You didn't have to drag me out of no saloons. None of that good stuff, paraphrased. He says, and yet, my brother, who's done all of these things, you've never given me a party, celebrated my goodness. I'm here with you, never left you. And you've never had the occasion to say, I want to throw you a party. But him who's gone out and spent his money on riotous living and prostitutes. Wait. Riotous living and prostitutes. He hadn't talked to his brother. He hadn't talked to his father. So how does he know what his brother spent his money on? Because he has said, boy, if I ever get away from here, y'all going to catch it when you wake up. See, a lot of folk don't do some of the things that others do that they condemn. But if they had had the chance, it'd be another story. Would you be as holy in here, out there, if you had a chance to be otherwise? If there were no God, there's no telling what we would do. But since there is a God and we know that God, we have to try and walk the walk and talk the talk and think the thoughts that he would be pleased with. Now, you can't do much about the devil introducing thoughts to you because they come. Say, what about this? That just popped in my head. Then let it go. How many times have we dreamed a dream that was so good and then nature called and we got back in bed and tried to pick up on the dream where we left off? Now, the only reason why we want to do that is because the dream didn't complete what we thought about doing in the dream. Y'all acting funny with me this morning. If we confess our sins, commission, omission, contemplation. So that means even the sins of our thoughts, our volition, our will, the things that we have thought. This would cover part of what David considered as secret sins. The sins that's been there for a long time. Because we've not confessed it. We've nestled it and made it comfortable, waiting for the right moment to release it. And that sin is just as convicting as sins that are committed. And that sin is equal to the other sins. But look at what the word says. If we confess those sins, if we confess, Lord, you know my heart. You know what's, I need you to take this out of my heart. I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to have this kind of thought in my head. Confess it. Confess it means that you've got to release it from your mouth. You can't just think it in your mind. It's not a mind confessional. It's a mouth confessional. What comes out of your mouth is being revealed, or you reveal what is in your mind for that has not yet been done. Because here's what you really know. God, if you don't take this away as I give it to you and take it from me, I don't know what will happen if the opportunity presented itself. Now that's being as real and honest with God, but he says, if we confess our sins, look at him. He's faithful. Do you know one of the names of the Lord is faithful? He is faithful. Not he will be. He is. That's a part of his character. That's a part of who he is. He is faithful. But not only is he faithful, The word and is a conjunction which joins that together. He's faithful and just. Now, because he's just, then that means he has the power to justify, to make people just as if they had not done it. So being just and giving them justification through forgiveness which is what he does. And when he does that, because he's faithful and just to forgive our